Good morning. Happy Father's Day for you guys in here. Super excited to see you guys. If you are watching online, maybe you're watching a couple days from now. We're just excited that you guys get to spend, we get to spend this morning with all of you. You know, Happy Father's Day. I know we may have single moms in here, may have grandparents in here, caregivers. We celebrate you as well. Pastor Jim is actually in Texas right now. His kids from California, Kevin and Luis, he got to meet them, him and Sharon, they got to meet them in Texas, and so they're having fun down there. My name is Zach. I'm a student and creative arts pastor here. This is actually my first time preaching here at Hope Church, so I'm super excited about this. So hopefully my mic works the whole time, because that would be wonderful for the first time. But I know there should be a picture of my family up here in just a second. We were trying on some goofy glasses, but that is my wife, Kelsey, 9 years in August, and that is Oliver. He turned 2 in February. And we actually have a baby girl on the way. She is due in October. So I'm a little nervous about that. We found out it was a girl, and Kelsey was so excited, and I immediately was like, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking through all the things I'm going to have to do now because I'm going to have a baby girl at home. But I got to tell you, I love being a dad. And I haven't been a dad super long, you know, a little over 2 years. But it is one of the most enjoyable experiences. It is so incredible. It's helped me to understand God. It's helped me to really understand my wife better, understand people better. I love it. And I mean, if you have a two-year-old at home and you're a dad and you got a boy, I don't know if girls do this with moms. I guess I'll figure that out in a couple years. He literally wants to do every single thing I do. The other day I hung a couple things in our bedroom, and I don't have the picture. I wish I would have. But he climbed up the ladder. I mean, I helped him. He got his little toy hammer and just started pounding on the wall. Just starts pounding on the wall. He starts leveling it to make sure it's level. I mean, he does everything that I do. When I mow, he grabs this little bubble mower and walks in the yard next to me. You know, we love to wrestle. We love to yell and listen to music and do all of these things. I love being a dad. I love sitting with him and praying at nighttime. The things that he wants to pray about are just really weird. You know, I want to pray about cheese cubes and I want to pray about apple juice. I'm like, okay, we can pray for those things. That's all right. But I love that he likes those things. It's also terrifying to be a dad. Literally, this just happened yesterday. So we live in Bella Vista, and we have a flat backyard, mostly flat. But because of that, they had to build up our house and our driveway. So our slope of our driveway is like this, okay? So what he likes to do is take his toys and cars, and he pushes them down the driveway. And I just hope a car doesn't drive by when he does it. But yesterday, I literally turn around, and he's sitting on his car at the top of the driveway. And, I mean, I yell and run and kind of dive towards him. I'm like, no! We're not going to do that. And he's just like, okay, and just got off and went and did something else. But it's so terrifying sometimes to be a dad because the things I do, he wants to do. And I have to guard him and protect him and do all of these things. But I think as a dad, as a mom, as a caregiver, as a grandparent, I think we all have the same question that we're asking. And this is the question that I want to try to answer today. How can I lead my family to know the Lord? You know, all the wrestling, all the cars, the bubble baths, running around the house, all of that is wonderful. But at the end of life, when I lay my head down, I want to be able to answer this question. Did I do this or did I not do this? How can I lead my family to know the Lord? How can I lead Oliver? How can I lead Kelsey? And I don't think I mentioned this earlier. Our baby girl, her name's going to be Piper. How can I lead Piper to know that's what I'm asking. And I think all of us in here and all of us online are asking this question, how can I lead my family to know the Lord? So I want to look at three different things today. We're going to take all of these from the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bible with you, if you have your iPad, your phone, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's also going to be on the screen. And the first thing I think we can do, the first thing I'm learning how to do is to live right. I think in front of our kids, with our kids, in our life, we can live right. And like I said, I'm learning this. Something over the last year that Oliver has taken from me. This is, it's just crazy. So when our dogs bark, how many people here have dogs at home? What about cat people? We got cat people. If you're online, you can raise your hand. We won't know, but it's okay. You can still do it if you have dogs or cats at home. But we have dogs at home, and I'm just not patient with my dogs anymore. I think I was before I had kids, and now I'm just like, why are you still here? You know, do we need to open the front door and you can, you know, enjoy the wild? But when they bark, my immediate response is to yell. Hey, stop it. Hey, hey, stop yelling. Barking, excuse me. I yell, they bark. Now when our dogs bark, before I can yell, guess who's yelling at the dogs? Yeah, Oliver is. I mean, it happened yesterday. He just starts to yell at them. And then the other day, he walks past our dog. Bad dog. Like, you're 2 years old. How do you know to call the dog bad dog? He's learning these things, and I'm learning something. I need to live right in front of my children. I mean, he's copy and pasting everything I say, everything I do. And I didn't teach him to yell, but I did teach him to yell, right? I think there's a saying, you know, some things are taught and then some things are caught. He caught that one. I didn't just say, hey, let's sit down and learn how to yell at the dogs. So here's what we're going to go to Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. How can we live right? What does it look like? What does Paul tell us here? Here's what it says. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he mentions multiple things here. He'll say, hey, don't do this, but do this. So let me just walk through this. Verse 15, you know, so be careful how you live. Again, we're looking at living right. Don't be fools, but instead be wise. Be like those that are wise. And James chapter 1 tells us wisdom comes from God. And so here we say, be careful how we live. How do we live right? Well, we look to God for wisdom. And then he goes on, he says, but make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And I know you look at the world really at any point in history, but look at kind of what's going on in the world and in the country right now. This is a great time to turn to God. This is a great time to get wisdom from him instead of other places. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but instead understand what the Lord wants you to do. Again, spending time with God, getting wisdom from God, learning what God wants us to do, or understanding the Lord's will. I think that might be what the NIV says. And then in verse 18, he says, and don't be drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we're not going to get into this whole thing about alcohol, no alcohol. That's not what I'm worried about here, and that's not really what he's worried about. He's saying, hey, instead of filling yourself with these things, instead fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. You know, our gratification, our purpose, our self-worth should not come from the things of this world, whatever that may be. But instead, they should come from God. I love what John Piper says. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is lifted high when we get our total satisfaction from him and not other things. We fill ourselves with him and his spirit begins to change us. And then verse 19 and 20 ends on this. He says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves. Make music to the Lord and give thanks to God. Man, if we want to live right, I think worshiping God, I think thanking God, those are things we need to do in front of our children. That's a way for us to live right. And I know Oliver is kind of learning how to pray. We'll sit at the table and I'll say, God. He says, God. We say, thank you. And he kind of just says, you. And then we say, food. He says, food. And then we say, amen. But he's already beginning to get this idea. We thank God for everything that we have. And that's, again, what Paul tells us here. So the first thing I think we can do as dads, as parents, as caregivers, is to live right. Again, I'm still learning that. Second thing, I think, is to love right. And again, I'm going to say this about myself. I'm still learning this. I attempted 2 weeks ago to love my wife. I attempted, because that's the right word for this scenario that happened. So obviously, Kelsey is pregnant. She deals with nausea, morning sickness, which isn't always just in the morning. It can be any time of the day. You women would understand that. I have no idea about that except for experiencing what she's experienced. So she's nauseous one night. She sits up in bed. She says, I'm going to throw up. Kelsey can't move when she throws up. She's just like, it's just right here. But she can hold it in for a little bit. And I'm like, I got this. I'm going to save the day. I'm going to be the dad of the year, the husband of the year. I run into the kitchen. I'm like, do I want to get that? No, do I want to get that? So I got this big kind of metal chili pot, okay? If you ever come over for dinner, we just won't have chili. I mean, don't worry about it. But here's the deal. I could clean that. Because it's metal, I knew I could clean it easily. I didn't want it to be plastic. So I got a big metal pot. And I'm running back into the bedroom because I just know. And as I cross the threshold of the doorway, I can tell I'm probably too late. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm athletic. I'm fast. I'm able. I'm capable. And I'm a good husband. I will make it to her before she throws up. So I sprint across the room yelling no to her while she's about to throw up. No! And I put the pot out in front of her. So here's what happens. I missed, and I hit her in the face with the pot, okay? I tried to catch here, and instead she has a bruise on her chin underneath right here. I popped her right in the face with the metal pot while she was throwing up. So I think the second thing we can do as dads is to love right, and I'm learning that, and you know, Oliver summarize the story. Daddy hit mama, mama cried. And I thought, that's really out of context. It's really out of context. But I think as dads, we are called to do this. And really everybody, we are called to love, right? God loves us, and he then calls us to love others because he first loved us. Here's what Ephesians 5:25. So if you'll scroll forward about five verses, this is what it says. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Man, this is so huge. This is sacrificial love. He gave himself for her. I mean, this verse right here is what the gospel is all about. Jesus loved you so much. Jesus loved me so much. Jesus loved the world so much that he hung on the cross to take our sin upon himself so that you and I could stand right before God. He completely gave himself up so that we could live a life of freedom, a life of salvation with the Lord. And then now Paul says, hey, that's what Jesus did. Now you have to model that for your spouse. I failed at that the other day. Okay, but that's what we're striving for, is to love our wives in the same way. You know, when we become married, we become one flesh. And Paul talks about this later. You can keep reading. He talks about when you love your wife, you're also loving yourself because you're one flesh. And there was a time when Kelsey and I first got married. We were living in an apartment in Joplin. We'd been married maybe 2 months. And I just, for whatever reason, was a jerk that day and just kind of forgot life isn't about me anymore. There's one flesh. There's another person. I have to think about that person. And she very clearly told me, if you want to keep being a jerk, you can go live in the dorms again at the college. And was very clear on that. And immediately I thought, wow, I was being a jerk. I was being selfish. I wasn't loving my wife as Christ loved the church. And I'm glad that she told me that day. It kind of reset me. You know, when we think about loving right, let's like apply this a little bit. What does it look like tangibly in our lives? It's easy to say, hey, you need to love like Christ loved you. Okay, so what does that mean for me? I'm going to give you three things that I have done or have tried to do or have seen other people do. Just examples, but again, that applies differently depending on your family and your scenario. I mean, what does it look like for you to go home as a husband and say, hey, you know what? I'll take the kids for the night so you can rest. I did this 2 weeks ago, actually. We went bike riding. Kevin talked about it. I have a little buggy thing that hooks onto my bike. I said, hey, I'm going to take Oliver to the bike ride tonight. You can stay home and just rest tonight. And that spoke volumes to her. Again, I'm not a perfect husband, but I came home and she was tired, right? She had been with him all day. She's exhausted. And I said, you know what? You stay home and rest. I'll take Oliver with me. But what does it look like for us to say, hey, you know what? We'll take the kids for a couple hours. You get some time to yourself. You know, what about taking care of dinner? Hey, I'll grab this on the way home. Hey, I'll go ahead and go grocery shopping this day. Hey, I got towels done. You know, I did some laundry and your towel's ready for you. You're good to go. Hey, I got this done. Hey, I mean, what does it look like to begin to help in those ways and say, hey, we don't expect everything from you, but at times we're also gonna serve right down here. We're gonna lead you down here. And then sometimes it's just listening to your wife. I think we deal with this a lot. You know, she comes home and tells me something at work, and I give her three things on how she can fix it. And that doesn't work because she doesn't care about that. She just wants me to sit and listen to her and just say, hey, you're doing great and I love you. And so that's a big thing for me. And again, how does this apply when you're a grandparent raising kids? You know, how does this apply, you know, when you're a single mom? Here's how it applies, is God tells us to love everybody. We love how Christ loves us. You know, in Colossians, I was just reading this yesterday, Colossians 3 talks about how we need to put on love. Okay, we need to love. So those are the first two things. I think we can live right. I think we can love right. And here's the last one for all of us, and this is a big one for me, is I think we can lead right. We can lead our children. We can lead our family. Here's what Ephesians 6:4, again, just turn a couple verses ahead. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, there are a lot of ways to kind of view this, to apply this, to interpret this. I mean, Paul doesn't tell us, you know, don't provoke them to anger by the way you treat them. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I guess it depends. Depends on your kids, depends on you, depends on personalities, depends on all of that. But he says, watch how you treat them. You know, and I just wrote down a couple things for me that I ask myself and really to ask you guys. How do we respond to our kids? How do you respond to your kids? Do you think through your response? Do you immediately say no? Do you immediately say yes? Do you put prayer into that? You know, do you allow your kids to have freedom? Do you allow them to think through things on their own, to express themselves? Oliver, at 2 years old, most of you have a two-year-old, that they're really independent and that's just what they want to be. But he likes choices. And we've learned very quickly, if we just tell him no, he's angry. He's mad. He's done with us. Out. Get him out. We need the new parents. He's done. But if we tell him no, but give him options instead, hey, instead of saying no to this, how about we have this? He feels like he has a choice. And then he's fine. Even though he didn't get what he originally asked for, he's fine because we've allowed him to have some freedom. We've allowed him to have choice. We've not just pushed him down. Again, he's only two and he still processes all of that. Immediately he processes that. And so that's something we're learning to do, is to allow him to be a little free, allow him to express himself, allow him to have some choice, a little bit of responsibility, which at 2 years old kind of seems crazy, but it has worked a little bit for us. You know, with your kids, depending on how old they are, you know, do you talk through choices? Do you talk through responsibility? Do you talk through consequences? Right? And those type of things. And then he goes on to say after that, he says, but you also bring them up in discipline and instruction, and that comes from the Lord. You know, I had a cool experience over the last couple weeks. Nora over here, she is up here singing today, and as we began to prepare to meet in person, this is our fourth week meeting in person, I called her mom. Really, I guess it's your stepmom. I called her stepmom, Cressa, and I said, hey, we're going to start in-person service. I'm contacting the worship team, and I'm just wondering, you know, is she able to sing? You know, I know, I mean, she's young. She's 13. We have COVID going on, meeting in person. They have young kids at home, and I just began to talk through and just said, hey, I want to get your opinion. I want to get your thought. I would love for you and your family to think about this because I really would like her to join us and be a part of the team. And Cressa responded as we're talking on the phone. She said, it's such a hard situation. So she's a critical care nurse. She sees COVID patients when she works. She has seen people on ventilators. She has seen the medical side of things and how bad it can be. And so she's telling me these things. And, you know, again, they have younger kids at home. And she says, but on the other side, you know, I want to protect my family. And they're not here today. Just Nora's here. But on the other side of things, I have a daughter who wants to serve the Lord. I have a daughter that wants to be at church. I have a daughter that wants to use her gifts and give back to God. So what do I do? And she said, I just want you to know that's what I'm thinking. She said, hey, I need to talk with Blake, which is Cressa's dad. We need to talk. We need to pray through some things. She texted me back the next day and she said, hey, our family took time to think over this. And we think Nora can, she's going to be able to come and sing. She knows the responsibility of, hey, you need to social distance. You need to watch these type of things because of our family. And I think that's just such a good example when Paul says, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. They took time as a family to pray and to process, what does this situation look like? Because they've seen the results of people that have it, and they also have a daughter that wants to serve and love the Lord. And they decided what they decided as a family. And I think for us, I'm super glad that you are here this morning. And I'm super glad just to see that example happen. I know if I had a 13-year-old, that's how I would hope I would respond. Instead of just saying, nope, that's a dumb idea. Or, yes, that's fine, don't worry about it. And actually taking time to pray and to process. You know, I can tell you through all three of these things, living, loving, and leading, I'm learning still. I mean, you guys got a lot of stories today how I've just kind of fallen on my face as a parent or as a husband. But I'm still learning, but every day I'm striving live, to love, and to lead. And really, if I were to kind of summarize the morning, if I just say, hey, you know, we'll be done in just a couple minutes, what could you guys go home and remember? You know, live right, love right, lead right. Maybe we even bring that down into one thing, to live, to love, and to lead like Jesus. How can we do that in all of our relationships? How can we live, love, and lead like Jesus in everything we do? You know, there's a passage in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And at the end of Joshua's life, here's what you have to understand. So Moses brought the people out of Egypt, was in the wilderness, and then Joshua took over after Moses. And at the end of Joshua's life, he's kind of in a position where I'm at. He is talking to the nation of Israel. And he says, hey, I don't know what you're going to do. I've led you. I've loved you. I have lived it. I have showed you who God is. And I don't know if you're going to follow God or you're going to follow this person or this person or this God. I can't decide that for you. But then he says this, and it's going to be on the screen here. He says, but as for me and my household, my family, we will serve the Lord. And as a dad, this morning, I can say that that is my battle cry. Every day when I wake up, I'm thinking, you know what? There are so many things going on in our world. There's so many things that we can pay attention to, that we can run to, that we can get gratification from. But man, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that's not always easy, and we fail at that. But that is a battle cry for me. And I want to just give that to you guys, dads, moms, caregivers, grandparents. Lead your family. Love your family. Live this out. You know, as we close, I'm just going to ask you guys for something. We're going to pray together. And if you guys will pray for me, I've given you lots of fail stories this morning. And I'd love, as I'm praying, if you can just say a quick prayer for me as I continually learn. And I have another kid coming in 4 months, and that's a little bit scary, and I want to take time to bless all of you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. God, and we love you. And Lord, we know, God, we know that you're moving. Father's Day 2020, everything going on in the world, we still have kids to raise. We still have kids to love. We still have kids to lead. We still have a family to serve and to bring to your throne. God, I pray for all the dads in here. Pray for all the moms in here, all the caregivers, all the parents, those online listening with kids running around the house right now. God, help us to live, love, and lead like you have shown us to do. Lord, we thank you for a time to gather, for your word. And God, help us to love our families. Thank you for your example. In Jesus' name, amen.